driving me crazy. Every little thing I do, you're on my mind. You are on my mind.
It's Soul For Real on Namibia's Heart and Soul, Every Little Thing I Do. 8:31, thank you so much for choosing us. We've got David Bishop on standby.
This is This Week Today on Fresh FM, Namibia's Heart and Soul.
That's right. Thank you so much for choosing us. There's a lot that's happening. Yesterday, the budget dropped. We just buried that's our president. And I'm sure David Bishop needs to make sense of it all. Good morning, David. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good and you?
We good. Let's start off with the conversation about first things first, just like the budget. That happened as recent as yesterday. Contextualize a couple of things for us, David.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We saw some taxes go up. That's, you know, everyone's
first concern.
It's always funny to watch because the minute that happens, Parliament's just noisy. Like,
so that's so we need to observe that silence, like, as really, it drops that one, and that is like whatever. We also saw an increase of budget allocation for the Ministry of Mines. We saw an increase of budget allocation for sports, for obvious reasons, probably the stadium infrastructure and the framework.
Still
and so
the
on.
Stadium.
Yeah.
3 years on.
2 years
still
on.
The stadium.
My goodness. There's also an increase, I believe, in the Ministry of Health. This is now obviously earmarked for the Havana Hospital, the 300-bed hospital. But what else is happening, David? Put it into perspective for us.
Well, one of the good things that's happening is at the end of next month, you will get more money in your bank account because you will be paying less tax.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So that was promised to us in the sort of medium, you know, the budget review last year. It was promised that it was coming, that the tax threshold has been raised to 100,000. Mm. So anyone earning less than 100,000 Namibia dollars a year will not pay any tax whatsoever.
That's incredible.
So I mean, that's a massive relief for your real minimum wage earners, you know, people that are they're barely making enough to get by, but they're making enough that they had to pay tax because the threshold was 50,000. You can hit 50,000 quite quickly in a year. You know, 100,000 gives you a little bit more leeway, but the benefit for everyone else obviously is that your first 100,000 is also tax free now. So your first 100,000 was, your first 50,000 was tax free. Now your first 100,000 is tax free. So everyone will benefit. Every taxpayer right across the board will benefit. Well, every PAYE taxpayers and well, personal income. So I suppose even with your provisional taxpayers, your income, you will definitely be getting more out at the end of next month.
I think that is incredible.
So that's great relief. Obviously, you know, the opposition jumped on it and were like, oh, well, election year, you know, trying to curry favor. But, you know, if you hadn't done it, then you would have gotten into trouble for not providing any relief. It's politics. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
You don't, yeah.
And then what was also nice, apart from just this immediate relief starting from, like I say, the first of March, the new tax year, is that in the latter half of the medium-term budget framework, Minister Shimi also said that they will revise the tax tables.
Okay.
I can't remember if we spoke last week, we spoke about South Africa's budget and how they didn't adjust the tax tables. There were no tax increases in South Africa, which everyone was worried there was going to be a tax increase or a personal tax increase or a VAT increase. Neither of those happened, but South Africa didn't adjust the tax tables. So basically they're saying, you know, you are still, because of inflation, you might have moved up into another tax bracket, or even just with inflation, you know, you're paying more because you got a salary increase. So normally they adjust the tax brackets to allow for that inflation, for that bracket creep, so that you don't end up, you know, you get a salary increase, you think this is amazing, and then you get your paycheck and you're like, why have I got less than last month? But I got a pay increase because now you could have moved into another tax bracket. So then they normally adjust those. So Mr. Shimi saying that in the latter part of the medium-term budget framework, they'll also adjust those tax brackets going forward. So
fantastic.
There's some more relief on the horizon. The company tax rate, you know, a lot of companies are going to be happy that company tax rate came down. Interestingly, and I think it was something that had been coming for a while, we had that automatic, we've had the automatic 10% on sort of interest earned that you don't even have to worry about your filing. It goes off. So now there will be a 10% tax on dividends. So if you get any earnings from your shares, you know, you used to be able to get that tax-free kind of thing. Now you'll be paying an automatic 10% on those dividends that you earn from any shares that you may own. Obviously, again,
those are in there, hundreds and thousands, if not millions, dude.
Yeah,
depending on where you have the shares in.
So you exactly. Yeah. So that's a sort of good extra source of income for the country as well. A lot of this year's budget is basically due to the fact that, you know, NAMRA seems to be paying off. You know, we created this entity. We took it outside of the Ministry of Finance, where it was always the Ministry of Finance that was doing the tax collection. Now we've taken it outside of the Ministry of Finance. We created NAMRA. And the idea with that, much like SARS in South Africa, is you've got this body that now has the resources to go out there and sort of clear up tax avoidance issues, you know, sort out VAT, do a lot of those things. So government was bringing in more income. SACU revenues have also gone up. So basically we've got more money to spend, at least. So now the government can spend that money.
Inevitably, because of NAMRA's good work.
Well, yeah, because NAMRA's bringing in... So part of it is that NAMRA's bringing in more tax.
Yeah.
They're getting more people to pay tax. Fewer people are managing to sneak under the radar, and the tax avoidance and all of those sorts of things. Obviously, they all, things like the 10% tax on dividend that's coming in now, that obviously also starts getting some things that used to be tax-free will now attract tax, and government will earn income on that as well going forward. So part of it is just closing those holes. And I remember an interview with the the CEO of NAMRA? I can't remember his title there. Yeah, there's probably some kind of... They did have their uniforms, of course, the NAMRA uniforms.
Yeah.
But he was saying in this interview that we did like ages ago when he'd just taken the job is that one of the things is that they're going to... All these little tax loopholes that people know how to take advantage of, they'll slowly start trying to close those to be able to get more, you know. Because there's tax... There's tax evasion and there's tax avoidance. And tax avoidance, as they say, is always, it's kind of like those legal ways to pay less tax because there's the loopholes. So obviously the government wants to close those loopholes so they can get more tax income, so they can spend more money on the country, essentially.
Okay, all right. Okay.
As long as it gets spent on the country.
Looking at maybe just a different sector, defense still getting their high. and you know, funny enough, yesterday I actually checked a comment on one of these blogs saying that, look, guys, you saw now where the money is going.
Yeah.
Just with reference to seeing the military in action in terms of the President's Bureau. Now you see, look at those nice vehicles.
I mean...
It is a massive... the military is a massive employer, obviously, as well. They employ a lot of people.
Yeah.
Look, they did a good job over the weekend.
That's true.
They, you know, they can be proud of the work that they did. There's clearly, you know, there was a lot of discipline, there was a lot of that. But yeah, people always questioning, you know, does defense really need that much? And especially with the sort of opacity of defense spending, because where's the money actually going? You know, we don't have that. We don't have open books. You can't just go and look and say, oh, okay, you spent that much on that and that much on that. It's very sort of hush-hush, and we're not allowed to know where the money's going. So that's where people have a problem as well. It's like you're getting a lot of money,
but
you're not telling us where it's going and
for,
how it's being spent. So,
was it a couple of years ago when they actually say that it's against the Constitution to open their books or something like that?
They were working on the idea that it
speaking
was...
Speaking out of correction, but I remember seeing a discussion similar to that.
So it would be like state secrets, basically.
That you were part of the intelligence.
So.
Now, speaking of hush-hush, David, look, not so long ago, we buried our president. But in the midst of that turmoil, actually, not turmoil, that's a terrible way of describing it. It was quite a peaceful process. But in that midst of all of that, a SWANU parliamentarian stood up and asked a couple of uncomfortable questions, asking, listen, what really happened here with our president? Who are these doctors that that you know worked on him in the US, and what institution is it? We also saw the part of the press release, saying that these doctors will also come and implant their knowledge into Namibia. Where is that process? So perhaps I need to ask you from a news perspective, are you and the rest of the news fraternity happy with the number of information that was at your disposal with regards to the president's illness and just the openness that went into who the doctors were, etc.
I mean, I think we spoke about it when the trip first happened was, you know, we wanted to know about this. We want to know more. We still haven't been told more. Will we ever be told more? Especially, you know, and in light of the fact that the president came back from America and died shortly thereafter. I mean, there's also sort of a lot of, there was opacity there again, because were we getting the full information? It, you know, now it starts coming out, it's sounding like the president was a lot sicker than we'd been led to believe before he even went to America. The governor of the Reserve Bank talking about how late Dr. Hanek Gaingob signed things in his sick bed, you know, and previous to that we'd been told, no, he's fine, he's healthy, he's hale, he's walking around, he's, you know, so sick bed, healthy. So there is that sort of mixed messaging that I suppose in a way you can sort of understand, not, you know, giving out exactly how sick a president is perhaps, but at the same time, you know, the public deserves, they have the right to know. We're not in a situation again where, like we've seen in sort of West Africa, where presidents are basically dead. And yet they're still ruling for sort of 6 months. You know, we're not in that sort of situation, but we don't think that
That has happened?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, look, I mean, according to many, it happened in the States as well with Ronald Reagan. So
you know, when we say dead, like practically dead, like this guy is literally on his deathbed.
Okay, like, I hear what you mean.
But the council
and
is ruling. Yeah, exactly. Not even in
running
the country.
Running the country from okay, those I've heard. Exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean now.
So we didn't, I mean, we haven't had that, obviously. It wasn't that bad. But there's that mixed messaging and people, the conspiracy theories about how the president died, I think those we can sort of just like, you know, guys, if there was any sort of, you know, dodgy dealings, you would have seen those, that would have come out. So the conspiracy theory side of things, I think we can sort of just dismiss. But we do, I feel, deserve a lot more information than we were given about. Again, I mean, like we said, before the president went to the States, we were told cancerous cells had been discovered.
Cancerous cells.
You know, it wasn't like it was cancer. Diagnosis. Yeah.
And if it was cancer, what type of
cancer?
Because certain, you know, different cancers have different mortality and morbidity rates.
Yeah.
So there is a lot more of that than we, you know, even the exact cause of death. You know, we're all assuming, everyone saying that the president died of cancer, but did he die of cancer or did he die with cancer? Was it the cancer that killed him? We haven't actually been told. So,
questions that need answers. But I think perhaps no one has the appetite to want to know these answers.
Well, that's the thing.
You
as
see,
well,
that's also, you see
we're
what
sitting
I mean.
And we're going through, and like you said, we had this really peaceful process. And do you now want to rock the boat? Do you now want to say, well, you know,
dig things up,
you know, things that don't necessarily need to be, you know, does it really make that much of a difference to us whether we know if the president died of cancer or with cancer? You know, does that change the fact?
Sorry.
I mean, it doesn't change, but for me as a person, to be honest with you, I just want to know who are the doctors. And also
the American side,
side
we definitely need to know more about
treatment and your killer heart. It's just wounds. Oh, well.
David Bishop, thank you so much for your time.
We
appreciate your wisdom.
Yeah,
do make sure that you check out
your
wisdom. I come in here and just try to keep up.
We appreciate you, man.
You check out their website, futuremedianews.com.na.
There we go.
Okay, there we go.
That was This Week Today on Fresh FM, Namibia's heart and soul. Brace yourselves.